the globalists haven't gone away. They're still scheming behind the scenes. Remember, they are skilled at playing the long game.
The demonic nature of what we're dealing with here, to me, became clearer than ever before. And it comes out of the closet a little bit more each climate summit. You know, in 2022, I was in Egypt. They came out with the new and supposedly approved Ten Commandments. Really bonkers stuff. This year, the Communist Chinese government unveiled what they call the Dragon Jaguar Guardian Spirit of the UN climate process. It was a gift from the CCP, the most murderous dictatorship in human history, to Brazil.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael. Brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries, the ministry founded by Jan Markell. In our program, Pastor Josh and Ken talked to Alex Newman of the Liberty Sentinel. He was just in Brazil for COP30. You need to hear this update. In the extended version, Pastor Josh and Ken continue their conversation with Alex Newman. You won't want to miss it. If you are listening on radio, you can find the extended version ad-free on our website, olivetreeviews.org, or on our YouTube and Rumble channels.
Well, this year's UN Climate Conference is underway on the edge of the Amazon rainforest in Brazil. The talks opened against a background of recent natural disasters linked to global warming. Many leaders are calling for less talk and more action.
The United Nations Climate Summit in Brazil, known as COP30, will wrap up later this week, and its achievements will likely be more muted this year. Tens of thousands of delegates from nearly 200 countries are meeting near the Amazon rainforest. But among those not there, any official delegation from the United States, the country that's emitted more carbon dioxide than any nation on Earth.
Welcome to Understanding the Times, the program founded by Jan Markell. I'm Josh Schwartz. My co-host is remote this week. He is joining us from Pastor Billy Crone's studio in Las Vegas, Nevada, Ken Michael. Today, we're going to talk about all kinds of things, current events, globalism, COP30 with our guest. He's been a frequent on our program, and we're so thankful to have him back. He is the founder of Liberty Sentinel, Alex Newman. Alex, you were just in Brazil for COP30. Can you give us an update on what happened there and the chaos that it is?
Well, thank you very much. It's a great honor to be with you, gentlemen. And yes, I did just return from Belém, Brazil, and there's a lot of different stories that I think are important to touch on. The final outcome document was not everything that they would have hoped for. But with the totalitarians, they have a process that they follow, and it works the same every year. They aim as high as they can. They look at the political realities, and then they adjust accordingly. So if they take a baby step this year and a giant leap forward next year, that's fine. They just keep moving in the same direction. And President Lula of Brazil, the communist wannabe dictator of Brazil, he actually articulated at the beginning of the conference a desire to see what he described as a global environmental council that would be part of the UN that would have the authority not just to monitor and track what governments are doing on the climate change front, but also to enforce the UN's decisions. They did not get all of that in the final agreement, but they got the framework for monitoring what's going on, which, of course, will be critical to enforcing the decisions later on. A lot of the real action took place on the sidelines. I've never seen as many as we saw at this conference. You had lots of separate groupings of governments getting together and passing their own mini agreements. A couple of examples that I think are really important to mention. You had one on misinformation, a coalition of governments, including a lot of close U.S. allies that got together and said misinformation needs to be combated at the international level. When they talk of misinformation, they're talking, of course, about, for example, this conversation. And their point person on this, a lady who works at the UN called Charlotte Scabin, was very clear. It's not just people who question the so-called science now. Even people who question the so-called solutions to climate change are now in the crosshairs. So even a lot of the cult members, the true believers at this conference, will find themselves in the crosshairs of censorship going forward. You had another side agreement that was very, very important. You had the European Union, Brazil, Communist China, a lot of really key players covering most of the global economy, agreeing to integrate their global carbon markets. Last year in Azerbaijan, I was there in Baku at the COP29. They agreed that they were going to globalize these carbon markets. California, of course, has its own carbon market. So they're all now starting to come together. Obviously, the United States is still not involved in this, but this is really significant because it's the path toward a global carbon market. So these are the kinds of agreements that took place on the sidelines that are very, very important. And I'll say one more thing and then kick it back to you, gentlemen. The demonic nature of what we're dealing with here, to me, became clearer than ever before. And it comes out of the closet a little bit more each climate summit. You know, in 2022, I was in Egypt. They came out with the new and supposedly approved Ten Commandments. This year, the Communist Chinese government unveiled what they call the Dragon Jaguar Guardian Spirit of the UN climate process. And I encourage people to look at pictures of this. It's literally a dragon jaguar humanoid with devil horns holding the world in its hand. It was really a clear representation of what we're dealing with. It's all based on lies. We know Satan is the father of lies, and it is ultimately at its core a demonic agenda from the pit of hell.
Like you've said numerous times, Alex, when they are telling you what they're going to do, you have to understand that that's exactly what they're trying to do. And we need to take them at their word and help the world to see that they're trying to destroy us and get to an ultimate global governance. One question I did have for you while you were talking about the side agreements that were being made. Are they doing that in order to set the precedent moving forward? Hey, we've already had this agreement. Now it's just one more step towards getting the whole COP 30 or COP 31 to agree on these things.
That's exactly what they're doing, Josh. And they've had this going on for a very long time. It's not a new strategy. It just became very prominent at this one because, of course, the Trump administration, they deliberately chose not to send anyone because they said this conference was designed to bankrupt the United States. It's a hoax. We're not participating. So this strategy, what they do is they create these framework agreements. And they wait until you have an election that puts somebody in power who's inclined to join. And it's kind of like the Hotel California. Once you check in, you can never leave. They're not going to get it, obviously, for the next 3.5 years. Donald Trump is not going to have a change of heart and say, oh, you were right about climate change. You know, we're going to sign up now. But they know we got an election coming up in 2028 and another in 2032. And as soon as they get somebody in the White House, whether it be a globalist rhino Republican, you know, liberal Republican a la Mitt Romney, whether it be another Democrat, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Kamala Harris, maybe Gavin Newsom, that's when they'll have the United States then join and you'll be stuck in there. It'd be very difficult for a future Trump, assuming we ever have another president like him, to extricate us from all that. And we saw that so clearly. So that is their strategy right now. Hey, we're not all going to be able to get to where we want to be, but all of us who are willing and able will go, and then we'll bring the others along as they get elections or new leaders in place who will sign up.
So, Alex, how far along are they? Even though Trump got elected this last time and we saw it the time before he put the brakes on the climate agenda, how far along are we to accomplishing the 2030 agenda? They want to have all these points that they laid out up and running by 2030.
They're making very serious progress. Some of the sustainable development goals that are part of the 2030 agenda, there's 17 of them, are deliberately unattainable. We're going to end world hunger. We're going to end poverty. I mean, they all know very well these things aren't actually going to happen. They're not even supposed to happen. Kind of like net zero. The idea of reducing human emissions of carbon dioxide to zero is utterly ridiculous. You'd have to exterminate every person on the planet. And then even their decomposing bodies would release CO2. I mean, it's utterly preposterous. And they all know that. But they're using the 2030 agenda to advance very rapidly across all these different sectors when it comes to education. And that was a huge topic at this summit. We're going to brainwash all your kids in alignment with the 2030 agenda. They know that that is the key. They actually said they're going to enshrine this now into the PISA, the International Standardized Assessment, so that every government will now be required to teach climate hysteria to the children, or the children will look stupid on the international rankings. So they're making great progress on this. Trump has thrown a monkey wrench in it, to be clear. But if you listen to some of the people talking down there, they were pleased that they didn't show up. A lot of these final agreements, they're adopted by consensus. And if the Trump administration had been there, they would have said, well, we don't consent. So that would have really ruined the party. And so several of these globalists were very open about this. You had Cristiana Figueres, the former head of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. She opened the COP in Cancun in 2010 with a prayer to the Mayan goddess of cannibalism and war and human sacrifice, Ixchel. She said, hey, we're glad Trump isn't here. Now we can do this without this kind of interference from the United States. Wow. So they're still moving forward. Trump has temporarily put a damper on this in the United States. He's rolling back a lot of what Joe Biden and Barack Obama did on that front. But these globalists, to be clear, see it as a temporary setback that will be overcome, if not in 3.5 years, then 7.5 years at the next election.
It's really interesting you bringing all this up, Alex, because it feels like the globalists are playing the long game. They see all these things in place and they see little hiccups along the way with whoever's in the presidency and control in the United States, but they're still going to keep pushing their agenda. And what is interesting in that is Satan himself plays the long game. He knows all these things are in play and he's going to continue scheming, continue deceiving to really pull worship away from God. Is that what they're doing?
There's no question about it. The spiritual dimension of this became so clear at this summit. So I do think it's important to just remind people we've got to have good theology on Satan. Satan is not this all-powerful being who completely runs the world. Yes, God has allowed him to have a great deal of authority. He's blinded the minds of them which believe not. He's certainly seeking whom he may devour. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, which is exactly what this climate movement is about. But ultimately, God is the sovereign one. And so all of these things that seem terrible that are happening, God is allowing them, and his glory is going to be displayed through all of this. So don't lose heart. God has not lost control. He's still on the throne. Yes, it is concerning to see the progress of evil like that, but God's got a plan through it all. His glory will be displayed, and we know how this ends. He's going to end up in the lake of fire, and all of these wicked schemes, all of these attacks on humanity and the church and what's right will come to an end.
So, Alex, I want to ask you something that's really concerning to me. We've had politicians actually come out and ask our military officers not to follow the president's orders. Or are they trying to have a military coup against President Trump?
Ken, I've been warning about this for years. They are going to try to kick off a civil war in this country. And there are very senior level bureaucrats within the federal government that are involved in this. There are very senior people in Congress that are involved in this. There are very senior people in foreign governments that are involved with this. And I'll give you a clear example. The wannabe dictator of Colombia, Gustavo Petro, was in New York for the UN General Assembly, and he went out on the street with a megaphone and said, "American soldiers, we humanity ask you, do not obey Donald Trump. You must stand with the people, not with your commander in chief." And of course, the US government immediately revoked his visa. He was sent home, which is, of course, the appropriate response. He couldn't be jailed because he had diplomatic immunity as a head of state. But there is a massive movement underfoot to cause America to fall into a civil war, to try to stage a coup. And Latin America is a very significant part of this. It connects with Venezuela. It connects with Brazil. And there are very powerful forces in this country, including, I believe, those members of Congress who urged American soldiers not to obey their commander in chief that are involved in this. And of course, it's true that soldiers not only are not bound to obey illegal orders, they are required to disobey illegal orders. When these members of Congress were pressed on some examples of illegal orders, they couldn't come up with any, which tells you everything you need to know. They are not asking these troops to stand against illegal orders. There have been no illegal orders given that anybody can think of. They are calling for sedition. They are calling for insubordination. And this is an incredibly dangerous phenomenon.
So, Alex, how would you instruct a follower of Jesus to interpret these things? What are we to be as citizens, not only of our country, but also citizens of heaven?
The Bible is very clear that we are to submit to lawful authorities. And in this country, the U.S. Constitution is the lawful authority. We don't have a king. We have a constitutional system of government. We, the people, are sovereign in this country, as articulated literally in the very first words of the Constitution. So to the extent that our government is obeying the Constitution, we owe it our loyalty and our submission. To the extent that it commands us to do things that God has forbidden, to the extent that it commands us to not do things that God has commanded, we have an obligation to disobey. Acts chapter 5 is very, very clear. We obey God rather than men. But in this moment, we have a constitutional system of government that is almost at the breaking point. There is a satanic effort to overthrow lawful authority and to build illegitimate, unlawful authority. So I would urge our soldiers who are in the military, be in prayer. And the same goes for citizens. We are going to see some strange things and likely some very difficult times ahead. But I would encourage people to be in prayer about this, be in the word of God about this. Don't be fearful. God has commanded us not to be fearful. Don't be anxious. God has commanded us not to be anxious. But we need to, as citizens who have an obligation to obey government, to obey the sovereign, which in this case is we the people under God, under our constitutional system, to try as best we can to defend that in the ways that we are able to do that. And I personally believe that goes beyond just voting every 2 years or every 4 years. But I would urge people to follow their conscience on these issues.
I always tell people, you think we're in a revolution right now? And some people raise their hands, some don't. But I say, if you don't think we're in the middle of one right now, you need to watch what's going on. We may not be in a hot war right now, but the revolution in this country to change this government from a constitutional republic is well underway. And that includes our politicians. We've seen this red-green alliance now that's hooked up with the LGBTQ movement. Obviously, what you saw in South America, the UN, the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, they're all conspiring to change our Constitution from how we live right now. Americans really need to wake up.
I agree with you 100%, Ken. And this effort to build this diabolical one-world system, there's kind of a big political obstacle in the way, and that is the fact that the United States of America still tenuously clinging to the biblical principles that it was founded on, remains the most powerful economy, the most powerful military in the world. And so you now have this huge international coalition of forces working to destroy that. Historically, the United States has been a nation that was founded by imperfect men on what you might argue was an imperfect understanding of biblical principles, but still biblical principles nevertheless. And if you're going to have a satanic one world system, you can't have these people clinging to these ideas that God gave you a right to life and thou shalt not murder, that God gave you a right to property and thou shalt not steal. They're not compatible with what these globalists call the New World Order. So America is public enemy number one. And all throughout the UN climate summit, it was crystal clear. Well, really, God is enemy number one. But to the extent that America still stands with God, to the extent that America still sends more missionaries to every corner of the world than pretty much every other country combined, it is an obstacle that needs to be removed from the path.
And then finally, I think what we're seeing in this country with the ICE moving into various cities across the country, you have the National Guard coming in, assisting. You look at this and you say, yeah, this is all good. And we want to reduce crime. We want illegal criminals out of this country. But we have to be very careful, because if the tide turns and the other side gets into power, we're going to see what happened after 9/11. I think I like to equate it to what happened after 9/11. We initiated the Patriot Act. Yes, we want to find terrorists coming into this country. We want to prevent a terrorist attack, get them out of our country. But we saw what happened during the Obama and Biden administration. They turned the tables and used the federal government against their own people. So we have to be very careful with ICE, especially the National Guard coming into cities. If the other side gets in power, I want to get your take on this, Alex. We could see the other side turn the federal government and our own military against their people, especially if they come up with laws that prohibit or restrict our Second Amendment rights.
It's critically important what you just said, Ken. There could be precedents established that could easily be flipped around against the American people. And there are many examples of this. Even the blowing up of these boats supposedly bringing drugs into the United States. We have not had a Congress declare war against any particular enemy, much less identify the enemy and describe how that fight should look. We still have due process protections in this country, and we have a process for holding people accountable for their crimes. They are arrested. They're presumed innocent until they are proven guilty in a court of law by a jury of their peers. So bringing in military to police certain cities, yeah, do we want to get crime under control? Of course we do. Are there better ways of doing it than federalizing our National Guard and deploying them on the streets of our cities? Almost certainly. So I do think we need to be very careful here. And I don't envy President Trump right now, where he finds, as you said, a revolution underway in this country. There's no easy way to deal with this, but we certainly need to be careful that we don't become what we want to oppose in our efforts to try to stop the spread of evil. I think we need to still stick to the Constitution. We still need to stick to the rule of law. We need to take the high road on these things. And I do think that God will bless that. And I do think that we can accomplish what needs to be accomplished if we do it with God's help in a biblical fashion.
Well, as we transition here, I want to play this quick clip and get your thoughts on it.
People get chastised for telling the truth. And then you've got, like you said, who do you believe? I mean, our media, they big poll. They polled our people in the United States. And how many of you believe the media? And it said 70% of them don't believe a word that comes out of the media's mouth. And I'm like, well, let's look at this. Who's to blame? The idiot that's lying or the big Facebooks, Instagrams, and X's that are making money off them? And then they're monetizing the lie, too.
Aren't they saying that he took the rifle apart with a flathead screwdriver?
It's a big one. I want to know. And it's like, I know there's footage out there, and I don't know what to believe and how it got down. It's like, all right, I want to know that. How did the rifle get from the roof to where they found it? That's a big one. Man, I've seen people say that Erica was involved in it, his wife. The words that came out of her mouth and how they came out when she walked in that room and saw him. You don't want to hear that. She's a victim. That's her husband. And now people without any proof are saying that she was a part of killing him. That's what makes me lose faith in people, and that we allow it, and that platforms allow it.
You're listening to Understanding the Times, the program founded by Jan Markell. We'd encourage you to go to our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can find the headlines there, where every day Jan puts out separate articles that she has found that are very important for us to understand. Also on our website, olivetreeviews.org, you can go to our prayer wall. On our prayer wall, you can post prayer requests that a whole community of people can pray for. And I would encourage you, as you scroll through that prayer wall, please pray for everyone else. Our guest today is Alex Newman. In that clip, you heard Brian Harpool, the head of security for Charlie Kirk, give his perspective on some of the things that had taken place with the assassination of Kirk. Now, Alex, we know that you were friends with Charlie. You knew him personally. So we want to be really delicate with this, but what, from your perspective, is happening here?
The last public conversation I had with Charlie was on my show, and I think he really nailed it. It was almost prophetic. I asked him to describe the nature of the threat we were facing, and he said it's demonic at its core. And I couldn't agree more with him. It is clearly what Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6. The enemy is not flesh and blood, it's powers, it's principalities, it's the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places. I will say that I have serious questions about what happened to him. I hunt personally. I often use a 30-odd six rifle. I know the kind of damage that those rounds can do. I don't believe some of the really silly stuff that we're hearing, that this was some sort of Jewish conspiracy or the Israelis did it. And what he just mentioned about Erica Kirk, frankly, I find that profoundly disturbing. I'm shocked and saddened that people say these kinds of things. She appears from all accounts to me to be a wonderful woman of God. So that is heartbreaking. But I do think it's fair game for people to be asking questions about what really happened here. I know the FBI has been clear that they're investigating a variety of different leads. They're looking at the possibility of accomplices. I have spent time with Kash Patel before. He strikes me as a decent, honorable man. And so I hope we're going to see a full, proper investigation here. But I completely understand the questions that are growing right now. And unfortunately, I think some of the lack of clarity by the FBI and the authorities in this case has helped fuel some of these more outlandish conspiracy theories. So I do think the government needs to be clear with us at the state level, at the federal level, as much as they can, you know, without obviously jeopardizing the investigation and the prosecution. But ultimately, when it all comes down to it, regardless of who pulled the trigger and who might have been involved, for me, it's very clear this was a satanic plot. Charlie Kirk was helping to bring the gospel to millions of young people. He was helping disciple the nations, just as Jesus called us to do in the Great Commission. And I think the enemy was furious because millions of people who the Bible says have been taken captive by Satan to do his will were being set free through the gospel of Jesus Christ and through the power of the cross and the blood of our Lord. And Satan was just enraged. And so regardless of what pawns and tools and idiots he may have used to carry this out, we need to understand that Charlie died a martyr for Jesus Christ, and we need to honor him and remember him in that way.
So let's expound on that a little bit, because Charlie had a huge effect not only on this nation, but globally. And they're calling it the Charlie Kirk effect. We're seeing young people going to church, wanting to find out the truth. What other effects are you seeing from his death, his martyrism?
This is truly international in scope. In the days immediately following this terrible assassination, I had friends from other countries who I'd never heard even mention God before, reaching out to me, asking, where do they start reading their Bibles? But God is using this horrific assassination for incredible things. And historically, this is what has always happened. The more they persecute the faithful, the more they murder us and torture us, the more people repent and put their trust in Christ. And so I'm not surprised that we're seeing that with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Frankly, we can quibble about some of the details of the memorial service, but clearly the gospel was presented to maybe hundreds of millions of people, probably most of whom had never heard it before. So God used this in a supernatural way, and I don't think he's done yet.
Amen. Well, time is failing us, Alex, so we're going to continue this conversation on the extended version of Understanding the Times. But first, can you help people understand how they can get in touch with you?
All of our climate coverage, that'll be at thenewamerican.com. My personal website is libertysentinel.org. People can sign up there for the newsletter for free, and we put out information like this several times per week. And then if you want to follow me on X, it's alexnewman_JOU.
Well, thanks for joining us this week. We are looking forward to the rest of this conversation. Now, if you're listening to this on the radio alone, we do have an extended version. It can be found on our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, or our YouTube or Rumble channels. We hope that you tune in. Well, friends, that was a lot of heavy things to cover with Alex Newman, and he knows exactly what's going on in this world. But the beauty is he has a biblical perspective. And whether it's climate change, globalism, or what have you, we know that all of this will come to an end, and ultimately there will be judgment on the earth. And what we're called to do as followers of Jesus is be watchmen on the wall to warn the people of what is coming, to stay up to date and to know what's happening in the world around us, but to point people to their need for a Savior, because judgment is coming and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the way alone to escape judgment. So I beg you, if you're hearing this for the first time, place your faith in Jesus and let His grace cover your life.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Make sure you visit our web store at olivetreeviews.org to purchase Pastor Billy Crone's new book and DVD set, Trump and the Stargate Prophecies. Tune in to the extended version of this week's program on our website, ad-free, at olivetreeviews.org or on our YouTube and Rumble channels. God is the sovereign over all creation. He is in control. We must trust Him because everything is falling into place.